Oh shit, it's that time of the day. May, what is it, 15th? It's the halfway, it's halftime of fucking May, and you're still sitting there with a finger up your ass contemplating calling some vocational school because you want to learn how to fucking cook. Get your shit together, bitches. It's Wednesday, May 15th. My main man, the Flying Jew, me, Uncle Joey Diaz. What the fuck? We're here, we're smoking, we got Ted Nugent on. It's not the song you expected, but it kicks it off good. Hit it, Lee! Smoking dope, drinking cookies, drinking coffee cookies. I got no fucking cookies. I fucking had a banana, a little protein shake. Who's better than me? Got up at 4:30.
Yeah, you were up early this morning.
4:30. I went to bed at 11:30 last night. Went to kickboxing until 9:30. Went home. What did I have at the house? I ate something at the house. Oh, I had peanut butter.
Nice.
A little peanut butter on a fucking spoon, a banana, some water. I got fucking super stoned the last 2 days,
though. You don't say. That's so unlike you.
Too fucking stoned. Did I tell you about Monday night?
No, what happened?
Monday night, took it to the trenches. Took it deep. I haven't gone that deep in fucking months. I think I had like a bang bar.
Okay.
I walked around with the baby from 8:01.
Okay.
And I got home at 10:45.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Where were you walking?
You know this. Listen, I have her for 3 hours in the morning. What the fuck am I going to do? Sit there with her and watch SpongeBob?
Oh, this is. I thought this was nighttime. This was daytime.
No, this is daytime.
Okay.
You know, you can just watch so many episodes of SpongeBob. That's my shit, by the way. It's SpongeBob, Dora the Explorer, and fucking Max and Ruby.
I don't know.
Max
that
and
one.
Ruby's, ah. Dora's fucking good, you know. They talk about Latinos and issues, and it says that your son could improve social skills and that, you know, math. He's good at math. Get the fuck out of here. And then, whatever is my show. Fucking SpongeBob is the shit.
Are they still making new? I know you don't know if it's new, but yeah.
But I tell you this. So I took a. Something happened at the house. Me and my wife were there, and she goes, "What are you going to do?" I go, "You know what? Let me take her now, and I'll have her back like by 9:30. I got into a beef. I got all the way down to Riverside by fucking Lancashire.
Did you
by
really?
CVS. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was hot. You know, I was sweating. I had water with me. She was passed the fuck out. I'm like, again, what am I going to do with that? You can't put a child down and expect to write a story or a joke. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're under their fucking beck and call. You could watch the TV, maybe read three pages in a chapter in a book, but your attention's always on that.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it. When I make the attention on me, I'll fucking walk with her. She falls asleep after 25 minutes. She can
just
take the sun.
It's like a car ride.
It's like a car ride. So after that, she gets all momoed up. I take her all over the world. But let me tell you something. I got back at like 10:45. My shirt was drenched to my fucking stomach.
Oh.
You know, I put it down. I had to run some errands. I got back at like 12:35.
Okay.
And I told the lady, I go, listen, I got to go in the bedroom and close my eyes for an hour. So I closed my eyes till about 2.
Okay.
I got up, brushed my teeth, and I shot over to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I wrote till about 4. I went over to the weed store. What a surprise. And I got a bang bar, and I got Auntie Dolores something, like the 180 milligram thing, right? Ugh. So I inhaled that first.
And wait, did you have a bang bar in the morning, you said?
No. I had nothing that day.
Okay. Okay.
I just smoked a little reef in the morning, was running around. And then I had the bang bar and something else, and I went home. Boy, about 6:30, I'm fucked up. I am fucked up. I am sitting there going, Jesus Christ, Joe. Shit's starting to move by 7 o'clock. Once Diane Sawyer finished, I was fucked up. I was trying to watch Jeopardy. College students, some kid from Utica, New York, was winning. And I was trying to play with him. And all of a sudden, I caught myself on fucking Jeopardy. Like, I was on Jeopardy. Like, it was fucking fat Uncle Joey Diaz.
With the
on
suit
Jeopardy.
On, just like.
With the suit on, with my UConn shirt on, like a half a fucking fruit. And I was like, oh my God. I looked at my wife. She goes, what? I gotta lay down for 2 hours. She goes, what the fuck lay down for 2 hours? You're just gonna go to sleep. I said, maybe so, but I'm just gonna sleep for 2 hours, dog. I went to bed at 7:15. I woke up at 3. I got some water, a piece of tuna that was in the refrigerator, and I went right back to bed till 7 o'clock.
Holy shit.
And you know, listen, man, it's not that you're lazy. It's that I go so many nights on 6 or 7 hours. Like last night, I went on 5 hours. I'm cool this morning. I got a ton of fucking energy. I feel great. The protein, the kickbox before I went to bed, all that shit. It stacks the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, and you, like, tomorrow I got to fly, and that's, you know, I don't know if I'm leaving early because I got to get them. I'll be on the Artie Lang show Thursday night. So if you guys have DirecTV or whatever the fuck it's on, I'll find out.
I'll look for it.
I'm sure you will. All the particulars today. How you feeling? You been swimming?
Yeah, I didn't do it yesterday, but I've been feeling really good.
Did you do it Monday?
Yeah, no, I've done it.
It was fucking hot. It was like a pleasure jumping in a fucking pool, wasn't it?
And it's not heated, so when it's kind of medium, it's like a shock. But when it's 100 degrees, it feels great. I am liking it, and I do like the hardest part for people who haven't done it. The hardest part about anything new is the first few days, because I hated the juice fast. But now I've lost like 22 pounds or something, and it's nice seeing it go down every day. So it's something I'm doing. But no, I feel good.
You know what you should do when it's hot? Just go for a walk around the neighborhood, just 10 minutes. So by the time you get here, you're hot.
Yeah, and then jump in.
And that pool's like a it's like a grapefruit.
There was I feel bad saying this. There's a group or a family of special needs kids, and the reason I didn't go yesterday was because one of them was just like doing laps like in the back of the pool, just like walking back and forth, and I didn't want to have to deal with that, so I didn't go in.
What time do they go in? You got to find out what time they go in.
That's the first time I've seen him there. He's usually just walking with their mom or something, and I didn't feel comfortable going in the pool.
What did he think he was gonna do to you?
No, I didn't think he was gonna do anything. I don't know. I'm self-conscious already doing laps, but with him just walking back and forth, and then I don't pay attention, so I run into him or something. So it's mainly my fault.
It's amazing. It's fucking amazing how you get embarrassed sometimes. So I tell you what, I have the hardest time on.
What?
You ever pull up to a 7-Eleven, and there's always that guy looking for money out front?
Oh, yeah.
I have the hardest. Sometimes I'll sit in my car and drive away.
Oh, really?
Just because I don't want to go with the drama. I feel bad if I give him money, and I feel worse if I don't give it to him. But I know he's a young man, and I know he can get a gun and go out there and earn the fucking money, or get a fucking shovel, or do whatever the fuck. Hey, listen, man, you know what? You pull up to somebody's business, and you go, hey, I got no money. I ain't looking for nothing, but I see boxes in front of here. Let me sweep the fucking thing for you. And they'll give you $5. You know how I know? Because I used to do it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of pizza places in Boston that will have them bring the sodas in or something.
Yeah, something. You know, if you go there with holes in your shirt, with a fucking I hate Jews fucking tattoo, they're not going to give you fucking work. But if you go there and look somebody in the eye and go, you got a bunch of oil back here, can I clean it up or whatever? It's a lot better than standing in front of fucking 7-Eleven and making me uncomfortable. They make me uncomfortable. It gives me fucking anxiety. And I catch myself and I'm like, why do I get anxiety over this fucking homeless guy?
Yeah.
If I give him a quarter, I lose. And if I don't give him a fucking quarter, I lose. When I used to go to fourth grade, I had Sister Anna Banana. I love Sister Anna. She was out of all the nuns at Sacred Heart. It was her and Sister Angela Marie that were fucking cool.
Okay.
But Sister Anna used to always tell me two things that have always stayed with me. One that reflects to me. She used to say, empty barrels make the most noise. That's me.
What does
that mean?
Stupid
fucking people.
Okay.
And she'd say that someday, you know, somebody would ask you for help. That could be God dressed up in disguise. And when you go to fucking heaven years later, he'll be dressed in that fucking disguise and say, you remember me? You could have helped me that fucking day. And that always stayed with me. You know, my life is guided by religion, the Catholicism religion in different corners. And it sticks with me. And I didn't fucking know this till about a year ago, that this is what guides me. You know, all those little fucking lessons and dumb shit I'd heard when I was younger. But who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Do they always find you? They always find me, and I made the mistake, because you go to that 7-Eleven a lot. When I was living in Boston, I went to school and worked literally on the same corner, and I gave money to a guy once, and I was there every day, and every day he found me. He would shake my hand. We'd walk me to the train station. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, you can't, if you go there a lot, you can't do it.
Well, sometimes those guys, you give them a buck. There's some guys that are fucking really cool. When I was in San Francisco in 85,
yeah,
and I was fucking hustling, bustling, dog, there was this black guy, his name is Puro, that means pure.
Okay.
And he was a Cuban dude that come in 79, the Mariel Boatlift and all the criminals.
Uh-huh.
And in 85, I lived in a tenderloin in San Francisco. I was crazy. I was fucking crazy. I used to have a bunch of suits, and I put the suits on in the morning. It's a very high trafficy area, and I'd sit in the hotel lobbies with a San Francisco newspaper, and I would listen to who's checking in. And I would, I had a great mind for numbers.
Okay.
And I would see what rooms they were checking in. And I would just see them leave the hotel, and I'd shoot up to their room and figure out a way how to break into their fucking room.
You'd memorize what number they, what room they went into? What numbers
they were, how many people. And there'd be thousands of people. That was my practice. That was my discipline, was numbers.
Jesus,
you know, a
Christ.
Couple months ago, I lost my phone in Jersey, and I was very upset. I not lost it. The power went out, and I was high on a banana bread, and I couldn't get a hold of George, and I had to call my wife in California to get me the number to George off a phone at my house. She had to stop what she was doing at a UFC party, go to the house and get a phone to call me back with that number. And after that, I got very upset with myself. I said to myself, 30 years ago, that would have never happened. Because 30 years ago, I used to know all my friends' numbers backwards and frontwards. Plus, I knew their license plate numbers. So if I was hiding in the weeds and I told them, like, pick me up on Woodman and Magnolia, and I was hiding in the fucking weeds, as soon as I see their driver's license number, I jump out in the street and grab them. That's how good I was. I knew all my friends. It was a practice. I didn't need to do it. I did it as a mental fucking practice, so I always had it. So now, like, I have every number written down that's my buddies, including your 9-7. And
Jesus Christ.
And I saved all my... It's like a fucking discipline. Do you follow me?
Yeah, that'd be... I don't know anyone's number. I know my mom's number, and
that's it. Well, fuck today. If you lose your fucking little cell phone, you're fucked. You don't know anybody's number. I don't know my house number, and I had to learn it.
Yeah.
Because you never fucking know. There's an earthquake, and the fucking towers go down, the Iranians shoot the fucking tower down, and hey, well, your fucking iPhone ain't gonna work. What's it gonna give you?
No, yeah.
Who gots? So you gotta learn how to get back on a fucking payphone and call, and we're not gonna be able to. Oh yeah, you can get the numbers off your fucking cell phone, whatever. What if your fucking power dies? So be prepared. That's what I'm talking about. Do you have a... I'm fucking prepared now. I've been prepared. Do you know I have a charger and everything?
Well, like in a special place? Like my mom...
Yeah, you have to be fucking prepared.
Do you have a earthquake kit, like a backpack filled with stuff? When I moved here, my mom
reefer,
wanted me to do
papers,
it.
Lighters, no, my fucking edibles.
All my mom wanted was water and money. She told me to have cash in case credit cards don't work.
Yeah, you have to have a little cash hidden around. I've been telling people that for fucking years. What if they shoot the electrical systems down? How are we going to get money out of the fucking bank? You're not.
I have no cash ever.
No, you're the worst. I've noticed that. You walk around with fucking, you know, a dollar bill and then a dollar. Jesus, fucking George Washington's eyes are sealed fucking tight. You don't even know what the fuck's going on. What else, Lee? Talk to me. Tell me fucking something's going on. Nothing?
No, nothing. Just, it's interesting.
20-something pounds, the thing. What? It's interesting.
Yeah.
What?
When you were saying it being embarrassed, the thing that... And I said it in one of my first videos. The thing that got me started on the first Juice Fast was I was embarrassed because I noticed that the drive-thru people started remembering me. And even before that, I would map it out. So let's say on Tuesday I went to McDonald's, I wouldn't go back there for a few days. So they wouldn't know. Like it's like people who go have multiple drug dealers. I missed
it's been
the
about
food.
Four fucking months, huh?
Yeah, I haven't been any
no
faster.
Jack in the Box.
No, I haven't. I've been good about that, but and like I would even like when I lived at home when I wasn't this big, but I wouldn't order from the same delivery places too often because I was embarrassed about it. So it's a and you went through it too. I mean, did you do it or you just, at that point you didn't care and you went to the same place?
With the cocaine, I did it. That means we're addicted to something. I had three dealers and I didn't want them to know what I was doing. And I would have three dealers, and I would alternate. I would go see two of them every day.
Okay.
But two different ones. So they would go, what happened to you last night? So I would go to El Compadre. I had D-Money, the black guy, and I had white guy, Mike, the dirty guy. And I had the Mexican on Western and Sunset. So I had four guys. So some nights I wouldn't call Mike, and I'd take the car, I'd straighten up and drive to fucking Sunset and Western, and the Mexican would come running down the street looking for me when he'd fall out of a fucking tree.
Yeah.
So that was, I didn't want everybody to know. Some nights I started my nights at D. Sleazy's house, and some nights I started my nights in El Compadre. Some nights I'd go to D. Sleazy and then get the second package from El Compadre and go home because they were two blocks away from each other.
Okay.
Some nights I'd go to D. Sleazy and I'd wait for Late Night Mike.
Late Night Mike?
Yeah, because I'd call him after midnight, after 3 o'clock. And then I had the black dude, Sergio Love. I also had him. He had terrible coke, but... He front me, so you got to do what they do.
And it works.
And every once in a while, I get over there, and he'd have two tubes instead of one. I clip the one, so I'd get double the high.
That's like going to McDonald's after midnight. Their bread's always stale and fucking gross.
6 years now, I haven't snorted. And it's people ask me at least once a month, do you miss it? And I tell you, yeah, I missed the one part of it, but I really don't.
Yeah.
I love sleeping. I love being focused on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've said before, when you're addicted to anything, you know, food, whatever, anyway, you can't have a normal life. Because you're always thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you had a child and a wife right now, in between driving around, you figure out how to go get your little fix without them knowing.
Do you think if you didn't have your kid, you would have gone back to it at some point?
No. I'm never going back to it whatsoever. I got off that. I don't even go in that realm. I don't even let my mind go in that realm. I got pills at the house that I looked at the other day. I cleaned out my medicine cabinet. Yeah. When I start the ear infection back again, I fucking cleaned it out. And it's amazing the shit I found. And I found Vicodin from the surgeries. Uh-huh. I found Vicodin from the root canal one time. How I don't like those things. It's amazing how... But I'm 50. Who gives a fuck? It's like when somebody comes up to you and says, I'm clean and sober. You want me to jump up and fucking down for you because you're clean and sober? You shouldn't have fucking started this shit in the first place. Yeah. You ever get those people? It's my birthday today. I'm clean and sober. I'm supposed to tap you in the back, bitch.
It's even worse on like the entertainment shows or whatever.
Drugs. Yeah. I wasn't supposed to start doing drugs. We're not supposed to. You know, I was looking at Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr., yeah.
I was looking at him the other day and I'm like, man, 10 years ago, that guy was snorting up a fucking storm. Like, I'd like to sit, and I heard he still goes to meetings, and I give him my heart, man. A lot of people, and when you're at that level of the snort, that's the crazy thing. See, there's the level where you get up in the morning, you go to work, and then you get a bump with your friends, but it grows. The addiction always grows. Then it gets to this level where it's a fucking freak show in your mind. It's a freak show.
What do you mean by freak show?
It becomes this fucking sex-filled freak show of fucking disgust and, you know, just craziness that now, because it's like a gun. When you have a gun, it's like having a magnet for trouble.
Yeah.
When I carried a gun, I always got pulled over by people cursing at me and giving me the finger. There was always that potential for me to shoot somebody. I threw the fucking gun away. I got no problem. You know, and that cocaine, people are attracted. Like, I was looking at Sissy. You know my cat Sissy?
Yeah.
The black and white one. Sissy's a fucking sweetheart.
Yeah, she's cute.
But let me tell you something about Sissy. When I was doing coke, Sissy had no contact with me.
Really?
Whatsoever. I have a scratch on the bottom of my arm that covers my tricep. That was Sissy. When I picked her up one day, her hind leg ripped my fucking arm.
She loves you now. She like listens to
you. You know why? Because, let me tell you something why. Because that cocaine was putting something in my system. The energy of that coke was making that cat. She was very sensitive to it. I'm telling you.
It's like bad energy.
She stopped. She wouldn't even come close. She didn't come. I think she was the third cat to come into the house.
Yeah.
Probably 2002. We didn't fucking talk until 2006. We lived in the same house and she would walk around me.
Wow.
That's how strong that cat was. Now, last night there was one point. I was watching the Anderson Silva from all angles on Spike last night when I got home.
Uh-huh.
Just to end the fucking night. And I sat down and I had, you know, Superbad on my thigh. I had fucking Harry on my legs, which they're like the McCoys and the Hatfields. They hate each other.
Yeah.
And I was laying on Sissy. And I looked at her at one point and she just went, man, like a little meow. And she went like that to kiss me.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, if anybody saw Sissy 7 years ago and me, it was like she'd walk around me. She'd fucking walk around me and give me like a look. That's how much of a girl she is. Sissy's, out of all my females, Sissy is the girly of the house. She's never been dirty. You know, she's really dainty.
Yeah.
She walks light. She's always clean. Always clean. You know, everything about her is shiny. She's healthy. But, you know, she didn't fucking talk to me. Now, she actually kisses me in the lips. If I go like that, she'll pop her head and look at me the whole time. You know, when I pick her up, she purrs up a fucking storm. Talking of which, I got up at 4:30 in the fucking morning, right?
Yeah.
I got up at 4:30 and I see there's no light on the living room, right? I see there's nothing on the living room. And I'm like, oh, my wife is out there. That means the baby woke her up, right? I look over. They got the Inlectables on. What is it? The Interjectables? Whatever, that Disney movie with the guy with the big fucking head.
Incredibles.
Incredibles on, right? My wife is like awake. Like, she's not, I didn't even look at her. I see a little baby like looking at the Incredibles, and I walk over into her swing, and I look at her, and she got a pacifier in her mouth, and she sees me with her eyes, and she just goes, and my wife goes, and I can hear my wife just yell. Not yell. I can just hear a voice going, get the fuck out of there. So I went in the kitchen like nothing happened. She came up after me, her ass pulled. She goes, that kid's been up to 3 in the morning. That little motherfucker won't go back to bed. And you walk out and stand in her fucking way. And she's just about to fall asleep. She saw me and she just went, yeah. like, fuck yeah, turn on the music, because usually I got the music on. She fucking my wife, and I could hear like a little tone, like it was like a dog whistle.
Yeah.
You know, that little tender, like, get the fuck on. So I knew she was torturing my fucking wife at 4:30. When I was leaving at 5:30, they were passed out. She was on the swing.
Oh, jeez.
And something was on, and my wife was passed the fuck out with Demi meowing at her, so she can't win.
She's already getting that from you, giving your wife's in for some fun in a couple of years with you and her.
Oh.
Mercy's going to be like your little
Mercy was
buddy.
Torturing her this morning. I could see that Mercy was fucking torturing herself. But that's really the thing. I mean, that's good that you realized. See, you had your little addiction to food. You were thinking that they would know.
Oh, yeah.
That was your freak.
And they
did know. It's amazing how your mind works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is the beauty of addiction, that you, when you quit something like that, you get so much stronger now. Now you, it's money ball. Now you see behind what you were thinking about. When you mm-hmm. see somebody else struggling with it, you know exactly what they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction's a motherfucker, you know, and it's so weird that you said something to me that really, you felt it. We were fucking around, and I asked you if you ate at McDonald's, and you go, you were really upset for a minute, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, when I jumped
Absolutely,
around with you.
Because I know that how much you like that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know that, and listen, you're not the only one. I mean, you have nothing to feel bad
no,
about.
No, they don't have millions of stores for no reason.
It could be fucking, it's amazing how many, I went to McDonald's for breakfast yesterday, my wife. I had the egg white cheddar.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's better, yeah.
You know, we were in a rush. Yesterday morning, the fucking baby shit everywhere, so she couldn't make breakfast. So I go, let's just go to Mickey D's. You like McDonald's? My wife likes it.
Yeah.
She likes the egg McMuffin with the hash brown. I'm not into the
You just can't
brown.
Go 6 days a week.
No, and I don't like the potato. I do like the apple pie. I can eat an apple pie. I'm not listen, dog, I can't lie to you. There's some shit motherfuckers crave every fucking day.
Yeah.
Okay, whether it's good or bad for you. You know, McDonald's, cigarettes, cocaine, alcohol, these are all the things society tells you they're bad. They're fucking bad now, you know, and when you were a kid, you ate McDonald's. You know why you eat McDonald's? A, because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And B, because you're on a move.
Yeah.
America's on a move. When you got two fucking kids, and you're living on a budget, and your husband and you both work, you're on a fucking move. 15 minutes goes bad, you go to you pick up a child at a fucking piano class, or boom, you fucking, you can't cook. You're not going to make time.
No.
The thing about raising children is a schedule. You know, I was never put on a fucking schedule. My schedule was live, you know? But normal fucking American kids got put on a fucking schedule, you know? I didn't take a nap till 1995.
Really?
I dated a stripper, and she told me you got to take a nap in the afternoon. It makes you stronger. So for an hour, I would, you know, give her a stab in the afternoon. I'd get all fucked up, and then I'd take a little nap for an hour. I never napped. You're supposed to fucking take a nap. In other countries, they nap. You're supposed to put your kid down for a fucking nap.
Yeah.
Let's blame this motherfucker out. What's going on here today? Where's the music? Where's the reefer? It's Wednesday, cocksuckers. Get out there. Deuce, did you do any jumping jacks today?
No, I'll do some. Okay. I'll do some when we play the music.
All right, you gotta do a couple jumping jacks. I did some bullshit. A little too short here. Fuck it up. Let's go on and on. What? Wednesday, May 15th, halftime. I must have superpowers. Oh shit. Oh shit, get up, Wiggle Funk with Joy Lee. Let me see, you haven't wiggled in a while. Let me see, Wiggle. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Where you going? Smoking dope with Jumbo Joy. I got four more joints we gotta smoke. Three more. Oh. My favorite word. Oh shit. Why they gotta say it like short? You know they can't play on my court. Can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Blow the whistle. Can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the fucking porch, cocksuckers. Blow the whistle. Where you get that from? Bradder might spit one. Let me that MC 8 ball and MJG. Oh shit.
I'm not supposed to, but I love rap.
Listen.
That opening scene of Office Space is totally me.
This ain't rap. This is motherfucking Too Short. This name, I didn't even know about Too Short until I got locked up. And the brothers put on Too Short one day. And when you listen, there's a couple things that kill brothers, all right? Popeye's Chicken, Red Lobster, and Too Short. And Two Live Fucking Crew. Makes fucking black people go crazy.
Really? Oh, what's that song? Big Booty Hose or whatever.
Big Booty. I don't like that shit, but I like all the other fucking stuff. Let me tell you something. You know why?
Why?
Everything's going good. Another thing, I drink a lot of water. My wife got that Keylips, whatever the company that puts the fucking water in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a month, I like drinking the fucking water. You know, and these are the little things you could do just to help yourself. Another thing I've told you 1,000 fucking times, I've told you, go to Onnit.com. Just check out what they got. I'm not talking about the battle ropes. I'm not talking about all that stuff. You could run. You could do jumping jacks like Lee. You could swim. You could do 1,000 things. When you're ready for the fucking kettlebells, you can get the video and learn. Let's get the mechanisms going. Let's get the mental going. You know, the alpha brain always fucking helps. I'm on like 19 alpha brains today. Synapses. No, not synapses. I'm not writing no paper. My cylinders. Cylinders is the word I'm looking for. Are on fire. They're tapping. They're fucking making it happen.
I think it is synapses.
It's not synapses. What's synapses?
It's the brain things.
Listen, don't make me stab you with this fucking smoking cigarette over here. All right, cut a second. No, my cylinders are on fire today. Try this Alpha Brain. I don't know if they have a sample pack. Try some Alpha Brain. Do the 3 package. Get some new mood. That'll put you in a better fucking mood, cocksucker. And get yourself a little immune. See, the cold went when the colds go to flu and fucking pneumonias.
Mm-hmm.
I got a cold now. I sneeze for 3 days and it fucking moves on. The sleep, the water, the immune, the sport tech. You know, who's better than fucking you? Let's say you got some extra dough. Let's say you and the chick broke up. Fuck it. You're looking for better avenues. You want that sperm in good shape? Get the hemp chocolate fucking protein or get some of these. Today, my man's going to call in. We're going to talk about the fucking Alpha Brain, the new 180, and get the Hemp Force. Check this out, Lee. These fucking Hemp Force chocolate bars, the vanilla chai.
Chai.
Thank you, sir. Right away, you got to be a fucking English teacher. They're tremendous. Take these motherfuckers. I ate one the other day before the plane. Usually I got to eat before I get on the plane and I get dizzy and shit like that. Fucking ate one. Beautiful. Went through security like a soldier. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Let me give you cocksuckers some shout outs today to get this party started. Right. By the way, I got to talk to you about something. Like,
okay.
Because you know me. I pick up I don't pick up the fucking baby. I come back home about 10 to 4. Juana leaves. I have the baby and I watch TV with the baby. Sometimes SpongeBob, sometimes whatever. Some of the children, sometimes I watch The Incredibles or the other movies she's gotten there. You know what's been on? You know what movie's been on the last 2 motherfucking days in a row, the last 3 days in a row in the afternoon?
What?
Man on Fire.
Oh, shit. I love that movie.
And I got to tell you something. Holy shit. People always ask me, you know, Joey, give a review of this, give a review of that. I can't talk too much about fucking Man on Fire. I can't. Every time I watch it, I see something else and I go, what the fuck was that? Yesterday it opened up from when he put the bomb up the guy's ass.
I love that scene.
And he had him. That's what it opened up with. I'm sitting there with my daughter going, honey, SpongeBob is on sabbatical. We're watching fucking Denzel. And she was happy as shit. She looked at me like, let's watch it. Fucking started watching that. He is so bad in that movie.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the Puerto Rican's house and he shoots himself.
Yeah.
Then from there he goes to fucking the guy's house and he calls the guy and he shoots the guy in the arm. Which is a great scene. Yeah, let me hold on 1 second. Bam! You know, you want your body, my life, for your life. The other day we were talking about that saying that John Lennon said about, you know, that when you're honest, you won't have a lot of friends, but you'll have the friends that you fucking need.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, man. I'm watching this fucking movie, and you don't know how many people have come up to me and said, Joey, I like Man on Fire. I just don't like that he traded himself in.
Why
for
not?
The girl at the end. He gave his word! Do you know what your fucking word is? It's your fucking word. Remember, and there's one scene. I don't give a fuck what you're doing today. When you get home at 5 o'clock, you put on Man on Fire. You fast forward that to that last fucking scene. That last scene every year. Like when you walk into an acting class, that's the scene you should watch. That's the scene. Listen, you want to get good at acting. You're an actor. You don't know. You want to waste your time going to see these fucking momos that are fucking failed actors in Hollywood. They did 3 movies and they realize it's hard work. I go teach it and they get all these saps. I'm telling you guys, you don't need this shit. This is what you fucking do. Lesson number one, just watch The Godfather. Watch that fucking movie over and over and over again. Watch Marlon Brando, particular scenes. Watch the first fucking scene. What?
I think my doorbell rang. Go ahead. Keep going.
Watch the first fucking scene with the camera. That could be the cops. Watch the second scene with the... what the fuck the name of it? The first scene in the beginning of the fucking movie. The second scene is when they're... when the Michael gets shot or Sonny gets shot, and he comes downstairs to see Duval. Watch that scene. Watch when he takes the cup out of Duval's head. Watch when he does all this shit. All these little scenes are what will teach you. You'll sit there and go, what did I just watch? That's how good fucking The Godfather is. Then, after you've watched that movie maybe 3,000 times, maybe 3,000 times, then you put on Denzel Washington and Man on Fire, and you watch the last scene when he calls, and he says, your life for the kid's life, and he thinks about it, and he goes, I'll be there with your brother. You know, he goes, yeah, bring my brother, but it's your life for the children's life. You understand?
Yeah.
He goes, I understand. And then he calls the wife, and he tells her that he doesn't know, pick up that Peter might be fucking alive. Then he gets there, and he walks up that hill with his badass Rutger League fucking shirt from Harlem. The Rutger League, fucking a lot of people don't know about it. Now you fucking know. And he walks up the thing, and when they take her out, and they cut her blindfold off. That's when the party starts in his head. It starts in his head. You see him, he puts his head down, and as she runs to him, he just breathes.
Yeah.
He's getting an anxiety attack. This is a fucking actor living this out, and you're watching this going, what the fuck is Denzel doing? And all of a sudden he takes her, she says to him, what are we going to do? Whatever. He goes, you're going home. He goes, what are you going to do? He goes, going home to Blue Bayou. Remember? Real happy. And he goes, look what I have for you. And he gives him the book. And he goes, and I figured out the last number. And something happens. I forget what the conversation was. It doesn't matter. Watch that fucking scene.
Yeah.
Then he cuts the brother. The brother walks his little hump in his arm. Because he shoots him in the fucking arm. He gets Peter. That music starts. And all of a sudden, una palabra. You're like, what the fuck? And you see him in the... No, he puts his hand up. And they show the red dot in the hand.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't say a word. They just show the red dot hitting the hand. Now, this guy could have pulled the fucking string and blew himself up like a fucking Arab. But he didn't. You know why? Because he's Denzel motherfucking Washington.
Yeah. And a spoiler alert, but if you haven't seen it after 10 years, relax.
If you haven't seen Man on Fire, do me a favor. Walk up to your roof and jump.
When I first saw it, I couldn't have handled it if I didn't think when he closed his eyes in the car that was the end. I don't think they killed him. I don't think I'd be able to go on if I thought that.
Well, you think they took him to a balloon party?
No, I think he died when his eyes closed right at the end. I don't think he. I think that's when he died.
That's fucking beautiful. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I fucking hang out with this Jew. He's a bad. Not only is he a great producer, he's a bad motherfucker. You're right. He probably died inside because that's what he told. He goes, "I'm going home."
Yeah.
And she goes, home where? And he goes, Blue Bayou. Remember, because he kept listening to that Linda Ronstadt. Yep. Fucking tremendous.
Tremendous. Here we go.
Oh, shit. There's my little brother.
Joey, what's happening?
What's up, buddy? Sitting here talking about Omnit, dropping some knowledge about fucking Man on Fire. What's going on in your world, beautiful?
Oh, not too much, Joey. Just putting the Omnit products to use early in the morning. Had a little business dinner last night. Had a few drinks. Went out a little bit on a Tuesday night, like a boss, like you used to talk about.
Like a and savage.
Now I had to wake up here on a Wednesday and drank the 180, a little bulletproof coffee. I'm ready to rock and roll, baby.
Now you drink the 180 first, or you do the coffee and then the 180?
Yep. I drink the 180 first to rehydrate after the night, and then the coffee. That's it.
And you mix the 180 with the water, correct?
Yep, 180 tall glass of water.
That's it.
The more water you can drink comfortably in your stomach, the better it's going to be for you. Because hydration is going to be a key anytime you're in any stressful situation, like too much to drink, jet lag, anything like that. It's all very dehydrating. So the more water you can mix it with, the better off you're going to be.
Now let me ask you something, Arbor. You know I travel every week. This is how stupid I am. You ready for this? What is the true definition of jet lag?
You know, when you're flying, there's a couple things that are happening. There is no real definition. It's like a feeling of malaise that you get after flying. Now, why do you get that? Well, one, you're going way up in altitude in a pressurized cabin, so that's throwing your body off a bit anyway. There's things that are happening, at that level, at that height, basically. You're in a metal can that's really close to the sun. So there's some solar radiation effects that people feel. There's just the natural dehydration from that kind of level. And then there's just the annoyance of the whole plane flight itself. But a lot of it has to do with the altitude and the pressurizing of the cabin. You know, for example, if you take a helicopter or a lower flying plane, you're not going to feel the same effects that you will in one of those really high altitude commercial 737 jets. And a lot of it has to do with the altitude that you're at. And also breathing in the stale air. It all just kind of combines to give you that feeling that people loosely term as jet lag.
Jesus, I fucking feel like shit when I fly, especially those long ones. And, you know, I prepared myself. Like in the old days, you do an eight ball, you drink, and then you get on a fucking plane, you deserve what the fuck you get. But now it's like I stretch in the morning before I get on a plane. I drink a lot of water the night before. While I'm on a plane, the last 2 years, I don't even touch water. I don't touch soda, nothing, just water. That's it, because it's just so, no, I'm happy that you're putting out a product. I mean, let me tell you something, from when we first had our first conversation a few years ago till now, Aubrey, you're doing some great things over there on it.
Thanks, Joey. I appreciate that.
I mean, you're fucking competing now. You're ready to go. You're like, too short. You got to blow the whistle, baby.
16 albums with me on the cover?
Yeah. Fucking tremendous. Now, what other new products do you have? I have the Hemp Force bars here, which I love. I was telling Lee that I had one before. Man, before I fly, I'm always fucking starving. I don't trust the food at the airport no more, and I'm sick of the food on the plane. So from Austin, I ate the chai bar that morning just to talk about it, just to see how I felt. You know what, man? I made it on the plane. I had the cheese and crackers with the grapes. Wasn't that bad. But it helped me through security. My blood sugar didn't go down. So I really appreciate it. I mean, it was great. It was great. I've been eating them now on the rush in the mornings. You know, that was my thing. This is what I love. It's very hard to be on a person on the run and to eat healthy. These things, at least you're halfway there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, most of the bars that you eat, they have that element in them. It's that real kind of chalky protein powder kind of taste and feel. And, you know, we wanted to ditch that. We've been talking with Mike Dolce, of course. I know he's a good friend of yours as well. And really the key for us is to put as much actual food in a bar like that as we can. So you go down the ingredients, and it's a lot of nuts, grains, you know, hemp protein, things that are really, you know, hemp seeds, things that are really actual foods. So, and you just kind of mash them together and push them into a bar, and you're actually eating what feels to the body like food and what, you know, absorbs into your system like a food rather than a, you know, supplement of sorts, you know, a protein supplement. It's actually like a small snack / meal. And you feel the difference when you're doing it that way versus trying to, you know, pack 38 grams of whey protein in a giant curd-looking log bar, you know, which is what most of the bars that are out are like.
No, I do say they have a lot of sugar and whatnot. And I've never really been, you know, 20 years ago, what was the big brand? They're still around today, the peanut butter chocolate.
The
Power Bar. Yeah, they were around 20 years ago. And you look, you know that your body, when you're trying to build muscle and you're trying to assimilate, you know, your body only assimilates 30 grams of protein per meal. So you want to, you know, really get up there and you look at it and it's got 7 grams of protein in it. You're like, what the fuck is this? I thought this had like 15. Now you can get bars with, you know, 92 grams of protein in it. But what good is, you know, what good? It's all sugar anyway.
It's not going to do you any good.
No good at all.
No. So the power bars are just loaded with sugar. And, you know, that's not going to really do your body any good, especially the type of sugar that they're using. They're not using any kind of earth-grown nutrient sugar. It's a lot of processed crap that you're going to find in those. And then the same thing in those, you know, like you said, those double iron eagle stack 90 gram protein bars, you know, all of that is just bottom of the barrel whey protein. You know, and whey protein has its place. It's really difficult to digest for most people, though. And it's just, your body's not going to do anything with all that protein. You know, better to get, you know, 10 to 15 grams of really solid, usable protein with a very absorbable, you know, nature like we have in the hemp, than to try and stack your body with as much protein as possible. I mean, I think Dolce has really proven with his athletes that, you know, the way to do it is to do it as nature intended. You know, eat your protein like you would. I mean, there's no way other than killing you know, a buffalo and eating the heart fresh as it's still beating, and you're going to get, you know, 40 grams of protein in a single serving. It's just not the way, not the way our body is designed to eat food.
I remember years ago there were these two bodybuilders called the Barbarian Brothers. You're too young for them. They used to, their claim to fame was, I mean, these guys were all roided out, but their claim to fame is that they both ate 36 eggs a fucking day. Who the fuck eats 36 eggs a day? I can't even smell you.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't
want to be going to sleep in bed with them.
No.
That had to be savage.
Do you remember who they were? Do you remember who they were at all?
No, I don't.
They were like they did a few movies, you know, Hollywood. I mean, they were twins. And they were all roided up. You know, America didn't know about fucking Decadorabalin back in the 80s like this. These two motherfuckers are going to Mexico on a daily and sneaking them in eggs or some shit. I got to tell you, the reason why I called you, Arby, a lot of people were very excited about the 180.
I am too, honestly. You know, I mean, really, I used to, when people used to ask me, hey, Arby, what should I do for a hangover? What should I do for jet lag? I said, well, you know, here's the recipe. You're going to want 2 Alpha Brain, 3 Shroom Tech, you know, if it was a guy, 2 Alpha Brain, 3 Shroom Tech, 1 New Mood, and 1 Shroom Tech Immune. You're going to take those with a tall glass of water. And so that was my recipe. But, you know, not everybody has that, and it's kind of annoying to kind of piece all those out. And it's a lot of pills to take right off the bat when you already feel like shit anyways. So what I wanted to do was put that all in a drink mix to make it super simple, you know, because each one of those elements has important things. The Alpha Brain is going to help support your neurotransmitters. The Shroom Tech Sport has the adaptogen. Adaptogens are key because they help your body adapt to stress. So like the Siberian ginseng, the rhodiola, you know, alpha lipoic acid, these different things, as well as being natural free radicals themselves. So that's an important part of the Shroom Tech. And then the New Mood, you know, you want to kick up your 5-HTP because you probably didn't sleep great. You know, you're probably a little on edge as far as your mood. Then you want to get from the Shroom Tech Immune, you want to get some zinc and some of the other minerals that we have in there, as well as some broad spectrum vitamin Bs and Ds and magnesium. And then I added a few other key things as well, some sodium bicarbonate, which is good to rehydrate the muscles, and then potassium iodide, which protects your thyroid, particularly from, you know, solar radiation like you might get on a flight, but just generally healthy for your thyroid and providing you with potassium, which you need anyways. And then a couple other key antioxidants like grapeseed extract and blood sugar regulators. And, you know, put it all together so that it's just the master concoction. You know, it is the cocktail, so to speak, that I would recommend for that purpose. And, you know, certainly I used to have more practice with it in my younger days, but still every now and then I'm able to put my formula to use like today. And honestly, it makes a huge difference whether I'm flying and I'm going to take one, you know, kind of before I fly and after I fly. And, you know, I would never know that I even hopped on a plane. Or like this morning where the turnaround from when I first woke up and went, oh, shit, you know, what did I do last night? That was crazy. And then to feeling like now, you know, a full 180 in and a bulletproof coffee, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, not perfect. It's not magic. But it's going to get you the best advantage that you can get.
I get so many positive feedback stuff on it products, from the Strong Bone to the hemp protein. You know, people email me. I answer anywhere from 80 to 125 emails every Sunday. And, you know, I got to get 10 to 15, you know, emails of people thanking me or the Strong Bone, or they ask me the questions I asked you. You know, my knee hurts, I need surgery. If I take Strong Bone, well, do I still need the surgery? Shit like that, you know. And another reason why I wanted to talk to you is because it's 2013. You know, the success of the UFC part of it is that we know who Dana White is. When I drink a Coca-Cola, I don't know who fucking Mr. Coca-Cola is. When I go to Adidas, right. I never met Johnny fucking Adidas. Have you? It's 2013, and I've always told, you know, Arby, when I go into, you don't know how many times I go into a vitamin store, a GNC or something. I go in there. And Arby, you know me from the beginning. I go in there with $400, $500 looking to get healthy, and not one fucking person comes up to me, or not one person is fucking knowledgeable. And I don't blame them, because that company's probably paying them $3 an hour. I wouldn't read a fucking brochure either. But at the same time, you know, when I talk to you, you're very knowledgeable about this stuff. And I've always told people, in the future, you want your business to succeed, it's all going to be through customer service, because we all pretty much, I make you laugh, and so does the other comedian. If I answer your emails, if I sell products, you know, and this is with you, I've always asked you questions, and you've been right there for me. You're the president of this. You're the CEO. You're out there. You're trying new things. You know, when we talk, you talk to me about the jungles of fucking Saigon and Bolivia. You've gone to the hell of the world to get products. What's in the future for Onnit? What do you see?
Yeah, Joey, you know, I mean, this is, you know, really this, I appreciate everything you're saying. And for me, it's the easiest thing in the world because I fucking love it, man. I mean, I'm really just living the absolute dream of my life. You know, everything that I've seen for myself, I didn't necessarily know exactly how this would manifest, but I would stay awake, you know, night after night knowing that this is what was missing. This is what I wanted for my life. And finally, I was able to visualize it and put it into practice. So, you know, doing all these things that you mentioned, talking to the customers, talking to you, it's just a dream for me. You know, I'm really could not be a happier human being. And, you know, when you're that happy about what you do, you know, there is no separation between, oh, I got to work or, you know, I'm spending so much time working. The whole thing is just living my life to the best and doing exactly what I would want to do. You know, so that's what makes it so easy and such a powerful thing. And, you know, I'm really just trying to find the best shit that I can, and I'm going to continue to keep doing that, you know, experimenting with as much stuff as possible and, you know, trying to improve on every single thing that's out there in the market. You know, I mean, I think Onnit's philosophy is we went out, you know, initially and partnered with some other key brands like Vega and, you know, Nordic Naturals and some other exemplary companies who are doing things really well. But because we couldn't figure out exactly how to do things better. But now we're starting to get even better, and I'm finding new kind of key ingredients. I got a new Hemp Force vanilla prototype that I just got in that's really, you know, that was a tough one, right? Because the Hemp Force chocolate is so delicious. A big standard to live by. And I found a really kind of exotic ingredient out of South America that will, you know, act as the cocoa does in the chocolate formula. And so, you know, found that kind of magic bullet. And then in the we're making a new green powder, because the green powder, you know, green vibrance is great, but it kind of tastes like horse stables and like you're chewing on an alfalfa log. It's a little tough to taste and tough to take, but, you know, you need those extra greens. So I was trying to figure out how I could make one that had all the nutrients but still had a taste that was reasonable. And I found another ingredient. You know, I won't probably talk about my secret ingredients, but it's all about just really hammering and finding every different source you can. You know, I go to all these shows, and there'll be a whole table of different new ingredients, new foods, new different things that come out, and I'll just pick up samples and try it and be my own little scientist. And try and figure that out. And then, you know, on the supplement side, it's a lot about the current research. You know, what research is coming out, what new extracts or plant extracts are available, and just trying to stay on the cutting edge and meet as many needs as possible. And, you know, like we say, you know, we're all about total human optimization, trying to make everybody, give them the tools to live an optimal life, to be as healthy, as strong, as sharp as they possibly can. And you know, that's never going to stop.
You know, I'm getting sharper and sharper from these alpha brains. You know me, dog. I take two alpha brains, I smoke a joint, I'm ready for the fucking day, Jack.
I know.
You ready to eat some pussy? Alpha brain will focus your shit, motherfuckers. You'll be eating pussy. You'll be. I'm telling you. Tell these motherfuckers. RB, I love you with all my heart, and I'm proud of you for what you've done. I mean, you know, when I went down to the offices and you took me down there, I found out you were a hoop player and you went to Virginia. I mean, you're the fucking real deal, man. You blow my fucking mind. If I had a son, if I had a son, I'd want him to be you, you bad motherfucker. And that's it. I'm just happy you called. You made my morning this morning. And I hope these guys, anywhere they can email you or find you or anything.
Yeah, I mean, all my social media is a great way to get in touch with me. Twitter, @WarriorPoetUS. I got a Facebook page, facebook.com/WarriorPoetUS. That's really the best way to get a hold of me personally. But, you know, any question you have about Onnit, we got an awesome in-house customer service team. This is not some outsourcing to some random place where nobody gives a shit. You know, every person on our customer service team is an awesome human being. So any questions you have about Onnit, just feel comfortable asking them. And then if you want to get a hold of me, yeah, at WarriorPoetUS or Facebook.com/WarriorPoetUS, and I will hit you back personally.
And let's get this Onnit fucking cruise ship going pretty soon so we can all eat out for brains and sail somewhere on a fucking cruise ship. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. And, hell yeah. Let's do it. I've been talking to Joe about that. We definitely want to.
Yeah, let's do it. One floor is the fucking the bar. And don't forget about the thing we talked about, the sketch. Keep me posted.
I will. Absolutely, Joe. Look forward to it.
All right. I love you, man. Thank you. Have a great day. Right, from the bottom of my heart, man.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is it, Lee. You got no fucking excuses no more, cocksucker.
You don't.
I want you taking Alpha. Let me tell you something. You pop 19 of these Alpha brains, I won't be able to take you out of that pool. You'll be fucking Aquaman. Let me give some shout-outs to this motherfucker. I hope you people learn something. First of all, our first fucking sponsor is a little fighter by the name of Adrian Moore out of Colorado. I'm going to send him some Onnit stuff. I got Onnit to send him some stuff. We're going to sponsor him. He's going to have the church of what's happening now in his fucking shorts.
Oh, cool.
So you're making progress in your life. We got Steve Farb. We got Zach D. No Millie, cocksucker. We got Kamen Hagata. We got Jason Rothman, Mr. Piper, and Mikey Joseph O'Connor. I love you, motherfuckers. That's right. Go to Onnit.com. Preston Church in a Box. Take a look at the fucking hemp the protein bar. Make sure you get this 180. I tell you what, I'm taking this fucking thing. I got a 6-hour flight back and forth, 12 hours on a plane. You bet your ass I'll be taking 3 of those. I'll be taking a Dolores Brownie. I'll be getting geared up for fucking 6-hour flight in business class. I hope I get bumped up, Lee. I put it for an upgrade. I got to get a bump up.
They're going to start passing your picture around American Airlines.
Fuck them. I'm not even flying on American. In fact, I'm supposed to check in 5 fucking minutes, Lee. You got to check me in. You got to figure out how to do it so I can get my shit. That's right. I want to give a shout out to Death Squadders all over the motherfucking country putting it together. You know, and that's it. That's all I got for you motherfuckers.
Where are you this weekend?
Where am I? I'm at Governor's in Belmont, New York on Friday. And I'm in Long Island on Saturday in Levittown.
Oh, that's cool.
You know I don't fuck around. And then next week, the 29th, not next week, we're at the Ice House for a live fucking podcast. But on the 28th, Testicle Testament 5 comes out. Pre-order that motherfucker today, bitches.
Boom.
I got another call coming in. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
I got my man Steve Marco from American Top Team calling in today. We're going to give you guys a fun-filled fucking hour here. This ain't no fucking Michael Jackson, and this is not Thriller, bitches. I've got to take these glasses off. I got to go to the dentist today. They're going to clean my teeth, fill up the cavities, fill up the fucking sides where it's exposed. My teeth are fucking purple. Yeah, so they're going to clean my teeth. I got to go get a shot today. Got to get my driver's license today.
You're getting a driver's license?
Yeah, I gotta go get a duplicate. I lost mine. I gotta go to Hollywood at 2:45.
Jesus, why are you going to Hollywood?
Because they couldn't get an appointment for me in Glendale. We gotta.
You did the appointment. Okay, that's good.
Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Some novice? You ever walk into Hollywood just off the tip of your head? Like you ever driving and go, ooh, I gotta go into Hollywood. I gotta get something. That is the jungle of driving. What's the name of the place?
DMV.
The DMV.
Yeah.
They're always a fucking nightmare. And there's never a drug dealer there selling coke. That's where you make a fucking living, selling coke at a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah, no, and it takes a couple weeks, but I love it. I went in and you get out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to go to Glendale, but Glendale doesn't have an appointment, so my wife thought I wanted to make an appointment before the flight to New York. I don't want to make it. I got my ID. I'm ready to fucking go.
Oh, shit. You could try using your weed ID at TSA.
I gave it to him in Burbank by mistake the other day. Just so you motherfuckers don't think I'm lying to you. I'm not lying to you because by mistake, this is what happened. I put my weed thing in the middle with my license. So when I pull it out, you see how it comes out together? That's my weed license. So the one day it was in this. In Burbank. Thank God it was Burbank and the guy had a sense of humor. I took it out and I gave it to him. He's in the physician's statement. He's like, what the fuck? Organic? For verification. He goes, what's this? I go, I don't know, officer. Just take the fucking license and keep looking. Mind your goddamn.
I'm so stoned. I have no idea what I'm handing you.
I'm telling you. When I fly, I get fucking baked to the gazelles. Not before, because I feel bad. Well, who am I lying to? I get baked before I take a shit. That's the point in my life I'm at. And disgusting.
And the times when you're not baked, you're still a little baked.
But you know what's crazy? I don't get, like, there's days I won't get baked all fucking day.
Not even a little bit.
Like, I'll get baked in the morning. Like, no, I'll get baked in the morning with you. But I'll go home now and I got the kid. I can't get baked. I don't want to be high around my fucking child.
Yeah, I was thinking that. So, you don't do that around her at all?
No, no, no. I won't put him in the car either if I'm high. No, 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 no. I'm by the book. I got that. In fact, listen to this, right? Yesterday, my wife said the funniest fucking thing.
What'd you say?
I'm sitting there. I'm trying to watch Diane Sawyer. You know me, dog.
You love Diane Sawyer.
I love Diane Sawyer. I just watch her. I don't masturbate. I just watch it. Just a cute little fucking haircut. I'm sitting there. And my wife says something to me about... What the fuck is this today? My wife says something to me about that... She goes, you know, next week, since you're home, we got to clean the room. I go, my bedroom. I go, no, no, no problem. I go, I got to really fucking clean it out. I go, have you smelled in there lately? I go, between the cat piss, the fucking feet, it smells like sweat. It smells like feet. It smells like sleep apnea. And she goes, and pot. She doesn't call it marijuana. She says it smells like pot in there. I go, what do you mean pot? She goes, from now on, you got to smoke outside. I go, I do smoke outside. She goes, yeah, I walked in there yesterday. And sometimes I forget. I just take like a hit off a fucking joint and I realize what I'm doing. You know, I can't get keep getting high in the fucking in the bedroom. She gets pissed off. She goes, and pot, that was the funniest fucking thing I had heard. I kept laughing right in her fucking face. Pot. She goes, and it smells like pot in there. Oh, fucking pot in there. Smells like fucking good shit, you know what I'm saying?
Smells like good shit.
What are you going to do? You know, people yeah. always... Listen, I don't do anything else. It's not like... When people ask me, like this kid who came this weekend, he kept asking me on the phone, like, what do you do up there? What do you do up there? What do you do up there? I get on. I'm an only child. I'm a fucking comedian. I love living in my fucking head. I want to beat every... I'm trying to write. Every day I got to write something and I can't come up with what to fucking write. I'm trying, and I do my best work when I'm stony edible. You know when I call you and talk about the farts in the face?
And I can tell because you're usually lively. Sometimes, like especially at night, you'll call me and be like, what's up, dog? Like it's like you're an NPR host. You're just really quiet.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. 6:30 when my eyeballs are spinning like one of those machines at Las Vegas. I fucking love it. Now, have you ever been to Utah?
No.
I've been to Utah to ski like 20 fucking years ago, 30 years ago. And I didn't talk to nobody then, you know? I got to go to West Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. I don't know what fuck to expect.
I heard that. I mean, other comedians have said it's cool there.
Everybody. Felipe, everybody says it's cool as fucking shit.
How are they with weed, though?
I can't bring no fucking weed to Utah.
Yeah.
But I guarantee they're grown. There's a lot of non-Mormons in Utah, right? Yeah,
probably. Like, I heard people, Mormons are cool people. The thing I've noticed is some of those people, they can be pushy, but a lot of the religious people are like nice and cool. But if you get them talking about the weird stuff, then it gets weird. But I've heard the Mormons are really nice.
You ever meet one?
I don't think so. No.
See, when you do triple runs, when you do these roads in Idaho and Montana, there's little hotels that you really can't curse because they're Mormons.
Oh, okay.
So I think I met them, you know. I don't know if they have 19 wives and all that shit. I really don't know what it means. I know there's a show now where they're opening up on Biography, one of those, Discovery, and I meant to watch it. You know, I read up on it a while ago, but I didn't really get the whole fucking thing. I know it's Brigham Young and Steve. He's not a bad fucking guy, I guess, if you really got to think about it.
Yeah, no. Are you raising your daughter religious at all?
Well, here's the fucking deal. The deal is plain and simple. I'm getting her baptized because you need to do that so if she dies, she don't go to fucking limbo. After that, it's on her. Okay. My wife is part of religion. I'm part of religion. Listen, when it comes to religion, there's two things you don't really want to talk about sometimes is religion and politics.
Yeah.
I just told you, you know, how I was fucking raised. You know, when I came to this country, my mother was Catholic. You know, I was raised Catholic. I was really raised Catholic because of the punishing, the Catholic schools and everything. And it stuck with me. And it's helped me, and it helped molded me. Could I live without it? Yeah, I had no belief for it after my mother died. I believed in no religion. I believed in religion was, you know, being a fucking bad person. I didn't know. Now I have a different way of religion. I feel that it's like an outline.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need it, but you need it. You know, and this is just me talking here. I don't want people fucking hate me for this or whatever. This is what works for me. You know, I also get high.
Well, we'll
at 6 in the fucking morning. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's my little brother, Steve Mocco. How are you, sir?
How's it going?
How's it going with you?
Good.
How's Florida treating you?
Real good.
How's a Jersey boy adjusting to Florida?
I'm adjusting good, yeah. It's been pretty good adjustment.
How long have you been down there for, Steve?
About 9 months.
And do you miss Jersey at all?
Yeah, man. I you know, I miss Jersey. You know, I don't get back as much, but I was living in Pennsylvania, so I spent, you know, a lot of time going back and forth before I moved down. But, yeah, no, I miss it. It's good down here, though.
You like it? You can deal with the humidity of the Puerto Ricans?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You grew up around all those fucking spicks, so you're used to it and shit, so you're all right.
Yeah.
Steve Mockle, let me tell you something. I was looking at your pictures online, and there's only one way to fucking describe you. You're a savage. I talk about being a savage, but you're the last of the real fucking savage. You look like something on Game of Thrones, stabbing people and shit. I love you to death. You know, it's funny, Steve Mockle, a great, great friend of mine told me about you 15 years ago. His name was Darren Rago. Do you remember him at all? Do you remember the name?
What's the name?
His name was Darren Rago.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. He was a North Bergen wrestler, and we went out to breakfast. And he said, do you know who's a badass motherfucker? Stevie Mocco. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I remember when you were born, I was around the area and they were talking. And I'm like, he said, he's wrestling. How old is he? And he was telling me about it. And then years later, he died. He was a wrestler from North Bergen that was pretty badass. He was friends with Crowley and the two Pascal brothers and all those guys, DiLorenzo, when he died. So he was the first person that turned me on about you. And then I thought about you from time to time, and I didn't know. And then I bumped into a guy, King Mo.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to King Mo about you, and he was telling me, yeah, you might. And then I started following you for the Olympics, and you just made me proud. And when you walked into the West Palm Beach Improv that night, I nearly shit my pants, Steve. You know that, right?
Yeah, man, that was awesome, man. That was a good show and everything. It was a good surprise seeing you down there, you know?
But it was funny because I was talking about our area up there. I didn't know you were in the audience. I just knew that there's a lot of North Bergen people in that area. There's a lot of people from northern New Jersey in that area. So I just wanted to make them feel at home, and I was talking about taking my dick out at the fucking White Castle, but at the Dunkin' Donuts there on Nungesses, you know, little Nungesses there. And you came up to me after, and I'm like, I'm from North Bergen. You're telling your wife, I told you he was from where I was from. So it was, how's it going down there? You fought 2 weeks ago, May 3rd, right?
Yeah, May 3rd I fought. It was good. It was in Davenport.
So you're 3-0 now in MMA?
2-0.
2-0, Jesus Christ, and both submissions.
Yeah.
So your jiu-jitsu is on, but you're known for your foot sweep.
Yeah.
You're a fucking savage. It's funny because I like to read your thing and talk about it with you, but all I could talk to you about is just looking at you. I could tell where you're from. I could tell you're from North Bergen. For a lot of people who don't know, Steve Mock was originally from North Bergen. Where'd you go to high school at?
I went to St. Benedict's, and I transferred to Blair. It's like a prep school in Blairstown. It's in New Jersey. It's up in the mountains over there.
And you were everything in New Jersey. You were Mr. fucking Lucha Libre in New Jersey.
Yeah, like I wrestled. I never wrestled in the States. I always wrestled in prep. But because Blair was in the preps, you know.
But you had an outstanding record in high school, and then you went to Iowa first.
Yeah, I went to Iowa for 2 years, wrestled for Jimmy Zaleski, and then I transferred to Oklahoma State after the Olympic year in 2004.
Jesus, and they all thought you were going to go to Lehigh or something.
Yeah, I was looking at Lehigh, but I wound up going to Oklahoma State.
And you said, fuck it, I'm going to stay right here in the Big 8 and fuck you motherfuckers up, show you who the boss is.
Yeah.
You know, I went to school.
I wanted to coach at Lehigh after college. I mean, it's a good school and everything, but, you know, I wanted to go to Oklahoma. You know, it was a bigger. It's similar to Iowa, I thought, at the time. You know what I mean?
You know, I went to Colorado.
Yeah. No, I heard that. I looked at your documentary.
Okay, look at you. You're a good man. Thank you, brother.
It was real nice, man. It looked good the way you made North Bergen look. Your family. You know what I mean? It was awesome.
Did you see one of your closest buddies in that, Carmine Balzano?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it was cool.
It's amazing that, you know, like I said, I grew up when your uncle was the mayor, and he was very, very good to me. I never never forgot, you know, your family. But I knew them all through Carmine. That's how I met them all through, you know, I was part of the family down there. I mean, I was the first Cuban allowed in that house.
Yeah.
And your family was very good. And I never forgot them, you know. And your uncle was just a savage up there in his little house on Kennedy Boulevard. Looked like the Munsters. That house is still there. How come you don't buy it, Steve? We got to buy that motherfucker and take it back.
It's a nice place, right?
Remember the one with the gates in front with the leaves and the...
Yeah, I know, right by Town Hall.
Yeah, yeah, but I heard they moved Town Hall now.
Oh, they did?
That's what I heard. You know, I go back home now, Steve, and I go to Chan's Dragon Inn, I go to Rudy's in Cliffside, and I get the fuck out of there pretty much.
On Anderson Avenue?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah, with the fried calamari, the squid, that's my life.
Yeah.
I can't eat it out here, so... I go to Rudy's and I go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think? When is your next fight?
August 16th.
And where are you fighting at?
In Las Vegas.
Okay, so we'll probably go out. I'm going to send fucking Lee out there, the Flying Jew, to go out there with a shirt that says Steve Marco, fuck this motherfucker up. And then how many more fights do you think before you see the octagon, you think?
You know, right now I'm working on getting better. You know, I'm taking it fight by fight. You know, I'm just trying to improve the best I can. And because, you know, I'm crossing over from wrestling. I mean, so I'm just working on improving my game. When the time comes, you know.
Good for you, man. I mean, you're down there in a good camp with some great people.
Yeah, ATT is great, man. My coaches are real good. Coach Lebo has been helping me a lot, and great training partners, you know.
And you got your boy who's fighting next week down there. You got Thiago Alves. Who's fighting. Who's this? Oh, he's fighting Matt Brown. That's a great fight.
Yeah.
So, you guys will be busy down there.
Yeah, Bigfoot's fighting next weekend in Vegas for the title against Velasquez.
Are you coming up?
Yeah, I'll be there for that. Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely see you. I'm coming up Saturday for the fight for sure. I got to work. I love going to the weigh-in because that's where you see the whole thing go down. But I got the best. You can't do both, so I'm going to go in for the fight. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you. Mike Dolce will be there, so we'll make a little Jersey reunion.
Yeah, man. That'd be good.
We'll get some pizza somewhere. Listen, brother, thank you very much for calling. I got to tell you something. You make a lot of people very proud, and me one of them, because where we came from, we didn't have much like that, and you're a savage.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, brother, for calling, Steve. Have a great weekend. Give your wife a hug.
I will. Thanks, man.
You got it, brother. Yeah, this fucking kid. You have to go on Yahoo or Google and look at his pictures.
I look right now.
Wrestling with a black fucking eye. One eye is purple. Just amazing. And I know the kid's story.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He looks like a fucking wild man.
He looks like an American gladiator.
Yeah. No. It's and he's not, you know, a muscle guy. He's not... And I got to tell you something. He's the spitting fucking image of his father, Joe Marco.
Really?
Spitting image.
That's a huge black eye. It's the first one that comes up, and it's Steve, and it's M-A-C-C-O, or, oh no, it's M-O-C-C-O, sorry. And it's like half of his side of his face is like black. That's fucking crazy.
It's a tough kid, and it's amazing how...
Oh, he's a big guy.
I could never be a fighter. I'm a fucking pussy. I get hit in the fucking head. I see blood. I'm going to faint even if I'm winning. But when I look at his wrestling pictures, I think a lot of my life. Look at his face. I think of my life because, you know, I don't have much. It's not like I'm a good-looking guy in comedy. I'm no Anthony Jeselnik. You know, I'm not a witty guy or nothing. But I've worked hard. You could tell the work in my fucking face. And I see that. You know, you can't stop this kid. You have to put a fucking bullet in his fucking head to stop him.
Look at him.
You got to put a bullet in his fucking head.
For some reason, I imagined him as like a lighter guy, but no, this guy's probably like light heavyweight or something.
Yeah, he's a heavyweight. He's going to be a heavyweight. You know, they brought him in to mimic Cain Velasquez for Bigfoot.
Okay.
So, you know, that stockiness is there, and I'm really proud. A fucking kid went to the Olympics. Whether he lost, whether it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, when you get there. And
you think
then,
this is what I wanted to fucking do a fucking podcast in the morning with some fucking Jew in the morning and hang out? No. You know, our dream. And, you know, you watch a lot of sports.
Yeah.
My fucking dream was to play for a national championship basketball team on NBC and go to the fucking Final Four. and hopefully play in the Olympics and represent your fucking country and do something good. You know, when you win a fucking, whatever, national championship, your fucking life is made for you.
Yeah.
You want a national fucking, even if you lose in the national championship game, you still were there. They can't take that away from you. No. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I feel bad at times that my life went in different directions, but that's what I wanted. I gave up, you know? I love fucking basketball. So when I see these kids living their fucking dream, my dick gets fucking hard. Because that's the way to do it. If you're going to do it, I mean, I don't want my daughter to be, whatever. I don't give a fuck what they are, as long as they're happy. But it's real funny. We had two different people on today. And the on it, Aubrey.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I like about Aubrey. This guy, you know, people always say I'm happy in what I do. Yeah, we all try to be happy and want to do. But while we fucking get there, we have jobs that fucking suck. And we have different parts of your life that they fucking suck. Trust me, I slept in a lot of fucking cars and a lot of bullshit. They sucked. But you look at them now and you laugh. And that's what makes you who the fuck you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer along the way. If you have a goal or if you want something so fucking bad, I just wanted peace. I never wanted to be a fucking star or a TV show. I just wanted peace and to be able to pay my fucking bills. And now I'm part of a union. I'm going to get a pension, you know, but it wasn't always like this. So just hang the fucking there, you know. You may be doing a shitty fucking job today, but you know what's going to make you smile when you're like, you know what? In 2 fucking years, I won't be doing this no more. I'm going to take some fucking Alpha Brains. I'm going to smoke some dope, and I'm going to write the best fucking song ever. You know, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to, you know, become a fucking professional cocksucker. Whatever the fuck you want to become, you could do it. And then probably you're in a bad position today, but that's just today. You suck it up for fucking 8 hours. You dig the trench. You deal with these fucking idiots. But in the back of your mind, you have your fucking dream. And that's what keeps you alive to go the next day and the next day. And write the fucking date down in your notebook. Write the fucking date down that this ends. This is not going to happen no more after this fucking day. I'm going to be living my fucking dream. When it's 18 months away, it's a year away. Get up, grab your fucking cock or your pussy, smell your fingers and go, Jesus fucking Christ, I got to get my life together and shit. It's Wednesday the 15th of May, and I'm fucking around listening to some fat buck and his Jew sidekick on a fucking podcast. I got to get out there and do my shit and smoke some dope. I want to thank fucking Omnit. I want to thank my man Steve Mock on America's...
Top team.
Top team. I'm sorry, I had something in my... I think I spit in my own fucking eye. I got to go to the doctor. Today I got to talk to the dentist to make me stop spitting. I'm spitting too fucking much, man. People sit in the front row of my shows, they got to come with a fucking wetsuit on.
You're a great self-promoter. I don't know why the fuck you're listening to us.
That's right. What the fuck? Go get something. Go do something with your fucking life, you fucking maggots.
People love it when you insult them. Like on Twitter, it's like... people...
I'm not insulting nobody, but it's the fucking truth. You're sitting there listening to two fat fucks. Was that you farting?
No.
Oh. You're listening to two fat fucks. You should be out doing... Did you do any jumping jacks today?
No.
Let me see you doing jumping jacks. God, cut this shit. You're always putting this shit off on me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm putting it off. I don't see you doing it.
Right. I did them already, cocksucker. Yes, I do them right now. I gotta blow my nose. Just fucking...
Blow your nose.
It always knows. The smell of fruit. Wherever you go. How many? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The fucking neighbors. I said 3, 4. Relax.
Me, the neighbors. You're fucking yelling cocksucker
right
and fuck.
Right now, the chandelier, the poor Jews downstairs.
Oh, it's a black couple. Don't worry about it.
Are they nice people?
Yeah.
You talked to them already? You told them you're a sack of shit?
Why would I tell them I'm a sack of shit?
I don't know. It's like, listen, I'm a sack of shit. I'm trying to put in Ashley's asshole. That's what happens and shit. Jeez. Where's Rosie? I love you, Rosie. He's been thinking about you and shit lately. He says he wants Rosie back. You gotta get rid of that fucking boyfriend and he'll come back to Boston and give you some real dick.
Can't tell you nothing.
This reefer is fucking tremendous. Eat some oatmeal. Do something with your lives, cocksucker. That's it. That's all I got to tell you guys today. We got onit.com. Go to the box. Order some products, whether it's the 180, the Hemp Force Protein. Do something nice for yourself today. Be a better friend to yourself. All the people that watch, I want to love you. What are you smelling the box for like a
I'm
freak?
I'm showing it to
when
them.
You were supposed to be sniffing or Ashley's underwear. That you weren't. You never sniffed on her underwear when she lived here?
No, I don't sniff people's underwear.
Jesus. Wait, tell me the truth. When she wasn't here, did you get up at night and sniff her underwears and bang one out? Like the dirty ones. You never banged one out.
Do you know that this computer has like 8 million videos It's not 1974 anymore. I don't have to sniff somebody's underwear.
So who gives a fuck? That, but you don't want to be with them. You want to be with Ashley. You never took one. Tell me the truth. With those crusty underwear she wore all day. Nah. At work, scratching a little monkey and you sniff him. You put a little sniff to him and you bang one out. Tell me that you're a family. I know you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You're a nasty. And then you smell the asshole at the end. You never do that.
Ugh.
You filthy fuck.
Huh? Who sniffs underwear now?
It's 2013. Why not? It's part of the whole patois. You never sniffed an underwear and whacked one out?
No.
What kind of freak are you?
Apparently, I don't know. Fucking not a
freak. This is what I'm talking about. This is why the fucking girl shows up in Bruce Lee as a sidekick, as Kato. Because you never sniffed her underwear.
I don't think people want other people sniffing their underwear.
Did you ever see them laying around?
No.
You didn't think about sniffing her underwear?
No.
Never when you were here alone, you go, I should sniff Ashley's underwear and bang one out?
No.
Maybe come on the underwear and rub it in like fucking stain. What's like stain removal? You rub it in and hopefully she'll get pregnant by mistake through the washing machine.
This should be the weed commercials. Like, not instead of the girl melting into the couch, it's after you smoke 6 joints and have an edible, you fucking...
I didn't have... Why you gotta throw up? I didn't have no fucking edibles. The cops pull me over, now they're gonna say you had a fucking edible. I had no fucking edibles. What we gotta do is this. It's over today. It's Wednesday. It's May 15th. I love you motherfuckers. Don't forget, onit.com. Don't forget, this weekend, Belmore, New York, Friday night. Tickets online. Governor's Saturday. Don't forget, 529, the motherfucking Ice House. Live show. Me, Lee Syatt. $10 tickets. 626-577-1894. And 528. Stop fucking around, Lee. That Tuesday is Testicle Testaments. 5 comes out. The last one in the series. We're putting all 5 of them together. We're going to tour the live show with a fucking podcast. And at the end, some chicks farts in Lee's fucking face. Tickets are going to be like $82 because we got to pay $75 to the chick to fart in his fucking face. And that's it. I love you people from the bottom of my fucking heart. Lee loves you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. You want tour dates. You want t-shirts. You go to Joey Coco, whatever, joeydiaz.net. JR, my main man, the black dude with the big dick will be taking care of you down in Arizona. I love that black motherfucker with all my heart. He's a business genius. And that's it, cocksuckers. Lee, you got anything to say?
No, just come to the live podcast.
That's it. No, I love you. No, thank you for fucking being here.
I do love you.
Listen.
I do love you, and I'm doing the juice videos, so watch those if you want.
How many pounds?
Like 22, I think.
What are you down to?
What am I down to?
Yeah.
Like 240.
And you're down to, you're not going to stop until you're down to 1 1/4. All we're going to see is a fucking head and a juice skeleton on you with your little heart beating with the fucking Hana Kahina Hana.
1 1/4. I want to get to 150. That's my goal.
150. All right. I love you. Keep doing jumping jacks. Keep swimming. Stay black. Where's the music?
We haven't done it yet.
Well, put the fucking thing on. How are you going to say goodbye if you haven't? What do you need a fancy suit for, Charlie? You got no trucking job to wear it to. You know what I'm saying? Just in case you didn't know what type of attitude you needed to leave the fucking house today. Here it is. It belongs to you. Go out there and get what belongs to you. Listen to this motherfucker. This is John Osborne when he was dirty. He had green teeth. He was living in an apartment with 4 guys. One of them was Tony Iommi. Frank Tony Iommi, for you motherfuckers that know what you know. And here you go. This is 1969. They came out as Earth. But they said, fuck it. We're going to change our name to Black Sabbath. They were Earth because there were 4 elements. But they said, fuck it. This is the second album. First one came out in 69. This one came out in 70. But I don't know when it was made. Don't fucking matter. Here you go. Listen to the fucking... This is the real deal, people. So before you listen to Chris Brown and fucking Giacomo and I Am Fucking Whatever, I Am Fucking... Here we go. Gathered in their masses. Are you fucking kidding me? Just like witches at black masses. Are you fucking kidding me? Evil minds that first time I heard this, I had to be about 10. I almost stabbed the motherfucker that day. I almost just killed the fucking dog on principle. That somebody was this fucking genius. Fuck Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne and her fucking wig and her fake fucking face. This is when they were dirty and hungry. This is it, right here. Have a good day. Mankind, poisoning
wash my hands. Oh, Lord, yeah.